How long are you out here for, mate?
Till Monday. So, quick flying visit. But I've been to Sydney before, so a few times, four times. Yeah. So at least I don't feel like I'm missing, going out or something. So it's all about the show, really. So,
what do you make of our local pastry scene as far as Australian pastry works?
Well, I think it's pretty good. You know, it's there's a lot. Obviously, cupcakes are quite big, still quite big on macaroons, obviously with Mr. Zumba.
that's out of control.
I know, a bit out of control, but. No, I think the level is quite good, and the thing I like as well about Australian pastry is not too sweet,
which is
good. So make a difference, because you know when you travel to the States or some other countries, you know it can be so sweet. So and I don't really like sweet pastry. I never had a sweet tooth in my life, so I always try to cut down on sugar, which is good. So
we need that balance, don't we? Pastry.
Exactly. Because a lot of people think it should be. Full of sugar, but you're actually killing all the other flavors going around, so it's no point to do it. And mostly these days, there is a big thing about sugar, so
there is, exactly.
So I'm always like trying to push the natural flavors.
Yeah, that's good. How do you balance a celebrity against you passing on your legacy to the next generation of pastry chefs? How do you balance that up on your own level?
Well, I was very lucky when I trained the traditional way in France, as an apprenticeship, so where I went for 2 years working in the kitchen I was very lucky. I was, they really took me on.
Yeah.
And, the whole team for 2 years really, that was ambition was to make me the best apprentice, which actually they did, because I came up, second best apprentice of France at the time. But, they really invested some time on me. And everywhere I went after that, straight away I started traveling and I went away. I was always. All my chefs always took me under their arms, and they share their passion with it. So I, I want to do the same. I think it's payback time. So we've got a very small business in London. People always expect we've got a huge business, but and they're always surprised I am there. But it's actually quite a small business, and because I'm traveling a lot and I'm doing a lot of other things, I can't. As much as I would love to, I would love to take an apprentice on board, because I think it's really the best way to learn the craft. But I can't, because I won't be able to give it 100%. So the way I kind of, my payback time is really by doing those shows, because I think, I give inspiration to a lot of people, because they, they look and they say, I can do that. I can do that, and I'm always trying to pass the message, but, it doesn't have to be too complicated. You don't have to spend crazy money, and I always make sure all our books or even the TV show we use ingredients that people can get from the supermarket, because I think it's always frustrated to buy a book and you realise you can't get any of the ingredients, because they're just for specialists or chefs, or you have to get them from abroad. So, and we've got a baking school as well in London. It's part of our shop, so I run classes personally there. Again, it's for amateurs or some chefs come in as well sometimes. So that's my way to pass it on, to share my passion, which I still love as much today than it was over 26 years ago. So,
what keeps the inspiration, keeps the muse alive for you?
Well, there's always something new. That's the great thing about baking and patisseries. There's always some new ingredients popping up, or some new techniques, some new piece of equipment, who change suddenly. There's always some crazy customers who's going to challenge us on a regular basis. I'm well known to say never to say no to the customers and arrive in the kitchen and just go.
Duffer saying that just before, he said that drives him.
Yeah, exactly. Why did I say yes to that? It's crazy. And the other chefs go like, are you sure? Go back and say no. But so there's definitely that part. And traveling. I love traveling. I'm lucky. I'm traveling for work and for pleasure as well. So I've been to Sydney four times and pleasure before. And you can't help yourself. You will go, of course, to have a look at the local cake shop, or I love eating out. I would go to a restaurant and I would pick something. Yep. I'll never copy and paste, because I think it would be cheating.
Yeah.
But it could just be a decoration, an ingredient, a texture, something will. Last time I was here, I remember we went to the Southfield shopping mall on George Street, and there was like this frozen yogurt people, and I said, let's get some frozen yogurt, and they have this little. Tapioca pearls with juice inside to put on the top, and I just said, oh my god, what are they? And the girl said, they're kind of popping something, and I never saw that before. So here we go, on my phone, take a picture, put the name, and as soon as I come back from the to the UK, you know, I went online, got some, and I created a dessert, a signature dessert with it, but just getting that inspiration. So it's a lot of it is from travel and things you see. And usually when you are traveling in leisure, you're relaxed, so you got plenty of time, and your brain is not overdrive, so you're getting a lot of inspiration, so which is always good.
So hopefully the show like today, well, for me, that I hope there's some young pastry chefs out there. I mean, for me, if a couple of them, you know, if it culminates into something, the show has achieved what it meant to be. How would you sort of recommend a path for the next, for a young pastry chef on the way up? I mean, you were lucky, it sounds like you ran into some really sort of chefs who invested a lot of time.
Well, I mean, I always say the same, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, to become a professional or if you want to become, you know, if you're just an amateur baker, is, you know, you need to start from the bottom. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no secret, you know, I mean, when I started, I wanted to be a pastry chef since I was five. Mm. And of course, I was very ambitious, so I learned the hard way, then, you know, don't start with making wedding cakes.
So what sparked that at so young?
And it was an inspiration from home. It was an inspiration going to the patisseries. I was always fascinated. We used to go every week. My dad my dad was the one in charge to go to the patisserie to buy the cakes every Sunday, like most French family will do. It's a kind of tradition, you know, on the Sunday you go to the patisseries. So I used to love to go there. I was fascinated by the presentation, you know, the glamour around it, you know, and they're like jewelry shops, you know, they are really beautiful. And it's something which, you know, every French people got understand how why it's expensive, and it's very highly regarded. So people will spend a lot of money on a Sunday to buy the special cakes, you know, once a week. So, and that's what really attracted me to it, you know, and because it wasn't really eating it, 'cause I didn't have a sweet tooth. So, and of course, when I started baking, it was the ingredients who attracted me. But yeah, my recommendation is, you know, you need to learn your basic. You know, when I started my apprenticeship when I was 18. I walked in and I thought I was going to do croque en bouche and, you know, fabulous wedding cakes and things like that. And for 6 months, I was just stuck doing pastries. I was covered with flour from top to bottom. And I remember I used to go back home and almost cry and going like to my mum and say, I wanted to be a pastry chef, not a baker. You know, why have I got flour and everything? And I absolutely hated it. But now looking back, I wrote that in one of my books and Tarted Up, you know, now looking back, I understand why, because those are all the basic you need to learn first. But that's the foundation of your baking. You know, learn to make some good pastry, learn to make some great fillings, some great sponges. And after, you can start to be creative and decorate them. But, you know, what's the point to try to build the 3-foot cakes, you know, if it's not going to taste nice or it's going to collapse, you know. So it's like when you build a house, you know, solid foundations, and after you can build the most beautiful house ever. If the foundation are crap, the house is going to collapse. So I think it's very important. And, you know, that's always a danger with TV shows. You know, it's, you know, young people, they look at it and they think like, oh, I want to make a big, giant, you know, Duff cakes or Eric's, you know. And I think we get the balance right in our TV shows. We show the professional side.
Yeah.
But there's the home baking, me at home, you know, no chef's whites. And I think that's what we're trying to tell people, you know, okay, this is what you do. You should be doing, Eric's doing that at work. And don't try too much to do that, that side. I mean, in France, people love home baking, but we will never try to make what you find in a patisserie. They won't try to do that. I mean, most French people won't try to make macaroons because they know, well, we've got the professional to make it for us.
Exactly.
So that's a bit of a difference between it. So.
I know she mentioned that in the show about you don't sort of walk before you run, pretty much aspect.
Exactly. That's that's the thing, and you know, a lot of people don't see that. That side of the business, but it is, you know. And anybody who works in hospitality industry, you know, it's hard work. And mostly if you're a proper pastry chef, you know, it's early hours. I mean, you know, I've been doing it for, like I said, over 26 years. I run my own business, but 5:30 a.m., I'm still in the kitchen. You know, that's the rule for a pastry chef, you know. So
where do you see your next 5 to 10 years, you know?
Well, I mean, hopefully the baking craze is going to carry on. You know, it's quite new, which is great. You know, I'm loving it. You know, it's not just in the UK. You know, it's a global phenomenon. I mean, you know, I was in Dubai last weekend. I'm in Australia here now, South Africa in September. Everybody's going absolutely, you know, baking crazy. So which is good. So hopefully it will carry on. We're looking at the moment to franchise.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cheers.
to franchise our concept, the K-Boy concept. We get a lot of demand in the Middle East and in India at the moment, maybe as well in Asia, like Singapore, and there is a lot of interest to try to bring the concept there.
Okay.
So that's something we're working on and carry on with the books. On the TV show, we just launched an app, a baking app with a lot of recipes, which is a global app, so you can just change all your measurement, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in America, to cups, to grams, to ounces. Yeah. And we're launching a YouTube channel as well.
That's
to fantastic. Because, I mean, it's so global, so we need people want to be in touch with you. So, I mean, social media is absolutely brilliant.
Is.
A lot of our fans, you know, they know what time I'm at work. So they go like, Eric, my brownie is on Twitter. Like, because my phone's playing the music in the kitchen, so which is actually a terrible playlist ever. But because my phone is there, I always... You know, every time I passed it, I looked and I go. So people say that my brownies are still liquid, and so I answer back. So you know, social media is obviously brilliant. So I think having our own YouTube channel will give us even more access to our fans globally as well. So
you've embraced social media.
Absolutely, yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a great way.
See you,
darling. Yeah. It's a great way to be in touch with your fans, you know, from all over the world, you know, very quickly. And in Australia, absolutely. This morning, I woke up, you know, everybody with pictures from yesterday, and which is great, you know.
In Australia, where do you see the role of pastry chef in the modern restaurant? Because in Australia, we're nearly sort of, as restaurants, you know, we're having a pretty high attrition rate here. You know, a lot of chefs are saying, well, we can't afford a pastry chef. You know, so that's being pushed away. That worries me.
Well, that's funny enough. That's happened. That used to happen a lot in you know, in Europe as well, in the UK, where you know the pastry chef, you know, it was a big thing in the at the end of the, you know, the 90s and, you know, early 2000, where that everybody was all buying cakes in, you know, from suppliers, or just the chef trying to make cakes. I mean, you know, as much as I respect chefs, you know, a lot of them can't.
They don't do it well.
They can't make a cakes, and usually. Sugar is like a big component out of it. So, but it's really changing. It's really turning around. And, you know, you look at all the top restaurants in, or even, you know, it doesn't have to be just Michelin star restaurant. A lot of the restaurant now will have their menus, and the name of the pastry chef will be mentioned on the menu, because, again, you know, people cynically, you know, they used to swap the dessert or skip the dessert, you know, said, oh, I can't eat it, because mostly because sometimes the dessert were not great, you know. But I think people now are so keen with tasting some great quality dessert. You know, restaurants and chains are realizing we need to invest some money to get a decent pastry chef in a kitchen. So it's back in, you know, definitely in Europe. So hopefully it will be the same here when people start to realize, you know, it's worth spending some extra money to and you know really try to sell this dessert. You know, I think the reason people didn't go for dessert is because they were not good. But if you can really serve something great to your customers, people will come back and talk about it. And and like I say, you know, a lot of restaurants now has got the pastry chef get a credit like the head chef. So people start to understand the importance. And it was a big article the other day in one of the British newspapers saying the title was the pastry chef are back, because, you know, in a lot of places, you know, it used to be bought in crappy frozen dessert or something.
In Australia, I mean, through shows like Great British Menu, we've seen a bit of a revival in British food. Have you seen that yourself, as far as it been triggered over there?
I mean it's you know, obviously it's something that's been you know, going up, you know, growing for a little while, you know, mostly with you know, I think the food scene is relaxing a little bit more in the UK, you know. And I mean, I did that in my early days. You know, I spent all my saving, you know, my money in going to all the Michelin star restaurants. You know, wear a suit and a tie. But I think people now, they want simple, simpler food. You know, friendly approach to food, and you find a lot of the top chefs, you know, who were 2 or 3 Michelin stars, suddenly they're closing their you know, brand new restaurants, and they're opening some more casual dining, and reviving some of those. You know, traditional recipes who had bad image because, you know, the supermarket, you know, started to make them with rubbish ingredients, or, you know, there is always something always go wrong with food at one stage. And but all those classic recipes actually were very good in the beginning. If you look at the, you know, the original recipes, and that's why I think the British food is really gone back to what it's supposed to be, with the gastropubs and all those restaurants who are much more casual, much more friendly. You know, and And you can see some of the chefs. I mean, I know a lot of the top London chefs, and they used to be so bloody stressed out. You know, you look at them, and they look like they're going to have a heart attack any minute. And now they, some of them, you know, because they swap, they're not under pressure to keep those Michelin stars or the service, all of this. They're enjoying it. You know, they change the menu every day. They're back to be creative in the kitchen, but without the pressure of having all this kind of shishi around them. So I think that's one of the main reasons, certainly, there is this huge revival in great British food. You know, there's some great... And there's no reason why not, because, you know, there's some great recipe of theirs, some great ingredients. You know, they got seafood, they got, you know, great meat from, you know, from Scotland, from everywhere. So there's no reason why the food should not be great in you know, we need to get rid of her. I'm trying to explain that to my mum, you know. I've been living in the UK now for 25 years. Yeah. She still sends me some box of food from France with tins of pâtés and things. And I keep saying, Mum, that's it. Things have changed, you know. Yes, 25 years ago, you couldn't get any decent food in London, but now you know. I mean, London's becoming almost like a world platform for foodies. I mean, every chef from all over the world now, if they want to open something abroad, they start in London. If it worked there, you will see them in Dubai, you will see them in Sydney or somewhere. But London is like the taste trial, you know. It's so cosmopolitan food-wise.
And you think the British public, what's their attitude to pastry? Is that fired up?
Well, it's still a tricky one because, you know, it's not like the French where it's deep in them and the usual amount of respect behind it. So they still find it a bit difficult to spend money. You know, they go like, whoa, how much for a cake? I mean, I'm not talking about wedding cake or celebration cake. That they would spend city money on that. But when it's time just to buy a little individual cakes, but again, it's changing, which is you know, we've been open now for our shop has been open for 7 years now, and there is we saw the big change. You know, before it was just like eating, but now people are coming on the weekend on a Saturday, park their car, and they come. Okay, I would like a box of 12 individual cakes, and they go la 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 la. They choose it, and they take it home for a dinner party or something. So they're getting that European kind of continental style of, you know, no shame to take cakes to a dinner party or if you entertain as well, which is good. So, but they don't take too much risk.
Okay.
So I mean. That's why our concept works, because we offer a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So there's some rustic baking, there's, you know, brownies or cheesecakes, some very, very fine, you know, very French fine pâtisseries. You know, and most of the time, it doesn't matter how hard you try to sell those, and you say, oh, crunchy base, lavender thingy, blah, blah, blah. And they go like, oh, God, sounds amazing. But I'm going to have the cheesecake. Because they don't like taking risk. There's still a way to go to try to make sure. I mean, another great French pastry chef just opened in London, a proper French pâtisserie. So, you know, and over the years, I've seen many people trying to do it, and they all fail. So hopefully, you know, I think it's the right time now, and I think he's going to make it work, which is good. But it's very brave of him just to keep it super French with, like, you know, very expensive and very jewelry-like. So... fully finger crossed, you know, it's the right time now for something like that. Things are changing, but cake-wise, I think there is a bit of way to go.
So the French culture, why is it so important? What is the thing that, is it generational that was passed on? I mean...
Yeah, I think it's a generation that was passed on, you know, I mean, it's all the way the food is. I mean, you know, it's the same with waiters, you know, when you're in London, you know, you expect your waiters to be a student or, you know, I don't know if it's the same in Sydney, but it's probably the same, I think, I suppose. So you're like, you know, you treat them like, you know, like a student working for you and things. But in France, you know there have been any waiters that have been professionally trained. They did an apprenticeship for 2 years and they passed the exam to become a waiter. That's how, you know, to serve it. It's the same in a pâtisserie, you know. To serve cakes in a pâtisserie, you have to do an apprenticeship in serving cakes. It sounds incredible, but that's what the difference is. So I think people got a much bigger respect behind it. And the pastry chef are suddenly... always been a profession that was really, you know, well looked after in France. You know, people always look at the pastry chef like, wow, you're a pastry chef.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Always looked at it, you know. Yeah,
to it.
Exactly. So, you know, we did for Vanity Fair, for the French Vanity Fair, we did an article, you know, Q&A with all the top in French pastry chef from all over the world. And, you know, they called us the god, you know, the god of cooking, because it's very well. You know, people always look at you like thinking, "Wow, you know." So,
as far as we talk about British food, but French food, where do you see that heading generally? I mean, you know, we a lot of people, you know, sort of, you know, felt we've moved on from that. I mean, personally, I think that it's the foundation, the tradition. You know, that is the spine of cooking. But a lot of people think, well, you know, it's you know, moved on from that with new styles. How do you see the future of French cooking?
Well, I mean, it's. So like you say, I mean, it's like with me, you know, I'm open to the world, and if you come to a patisserie, you always see them, you know, there's things from all over the world, inspirations, and it's not just French. But yeah, there's no secret when in any of his recipes, doesn't matter if I'm doing an Italian recipe, is inspired or anything. And we get. But the foundations, the key foundation for would be my background training, you know, of you know, traditional French training of pâtisseries. And I think with the food is the same. I mean, in France itself, you know, I always say to my colleagues, and you know, even when I go back to my pâtisserie where I train, you know, I used to look at the pâtisserie thinking, oh, that was the best pâtisserie. And when I was 10, I already chose a pâtisserie because for me they were the best in their field. But now I go back and they haven't moved, you know. And the French can be a bit like that, and you know, and I think they need to be warned to be, you know, they can't just sit on their backside thinking, oh, you know, oh, we are the best, you know, we are the thing, because things are moving around. And you know, I've been coming to Sydney, and I get interviewed, you know, for, you know, I did four Christmas and the New Year in a row here, and I get interviewed, and I would say, where's the best food? And I'd say, Australia, South Africa, because the food is much lighter. You know, I suppose the guys here have to, the chefs here have to work harder to, because, you know, they haven't got really a proper, you know, what's Australian cooking really? It doesn't really exist. So so they have to create their own identities in cooking, and they use much lighter ingredients, much lighter technique. And it's the same in South Africa. I find exactly the same kind of style, you know, not reduced sauce, very heavy things. So, you know, I think it's, and it's very important to get your basic training, you know, and anybody who's got a bit of French training behind it from apprenticeship or school or working in a kitchen. But I think the French need to be careful when, like, you know, all this country is going to take it over, you know, very quickly, so, which is good. So, but it's always nice to see a bit of French inspiration somewhere.
Always. I know. Thank you for your time, Eric.
Pleasure. Yep. Thank you very much.